Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And if you have started dropshipping in the last couple of years, you've ran into this problem. Google suspended me. What do I do, John? I think I have some empathy. I want to give some people, I'm not even going to shout out your names, but you know who you are, in our Slack community who have been dealing with this and working through this. Heck, I've been suspended over a year, so I got you all covered. I love you. I love you. I'm giving you a big hug. Please push through this. I know it sucks. Heck, I had some people say, pretty easy to say it sucks in your position when you're raking in the dough. It sucks no matter where you are. It doesn't matter because it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. You're likely making a very small error in somewhere of your business that you're just overlooking. But what do we do, John? For all the people who are, you know, signing up, this feels like a rite of passage at this moment. What advice can we give someone, even if it's just a hug? You know, if it's just a virtual hug, I'm happy to give that. You see me in person in Salt Lake City at Dropship Breakthrough Live, I'll give you a big hug there too. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/live if you want to come get a hug from BK. But what do you do? What do you do to, you know, tell Google enough of this crap?
Yeah, look, I would echo those sentiments. It's very frustrating. It's frustrating. It sucks when it happens. I want to be clear from the start that it's an AI-driven process, and we have heard so many times from people who work at Google directly that sometimes there isn't a reason, and they can't see why. And they think your site's fine, but they just can't overturn the blah, blah, blah in the back end. And so it happens to a lot of people. It doesn't happen to everybody. I want to be clear. I see people online all the time being like, everybody's getting suspended. The world's crashing. It doesn't happen to everybody, for starters. Maybe 50% or less of people. I want to be clear about that. Like, it's temporary. It's always temporary. Some people do get suspended for longer periods of time. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Some people, it's a shorter thing. I don't know a single person that is permanently banned from Google Merchant Center, at least not in our membership. I don't know outside of that, right? I'm not going to comment on what other people do or don't do. Just the other day, we saw a student posting, oh, I've been unsuspended after like 3 or 4 months or something, right? And talk to them about what did they do? What did they do? So maybe there's some tips in that. But you have to remember, oftentimes people do have some things they can work on, and we can touch on some of those things. But there are also occasions where you're not doing anything wrong, right? And it can be hard to tell when that is. It can be a bit confusing. I get that. But there are also, I think, some things that you should not do in this situation. And I want to be clear about those straight off the gate, because I get this question 50 times a day, it feels like at the moment. Oh, who can you recommend that I pay to get my Google Merchant Center account unsuspended? Who's got a service? Should I pay somebody on Fiverr? I see these guys on Fiverr. Should I pay them? Blah, blah, blah. The answer is no. At this point in time, I would say do not waste your money paying somebody to unsuspend your Google Merchant Center account. At least half the time, they're going to fuck it worse than it was before, particularly on the guys on Fiverr. There's nobody that has a secret in at Google that can just get accounts unsuspended regardless. That person doesn't exist. They're lying if they say that, for starters, right? There's no inner circle or anything like that, right? And there'll be somebody out there who's listening to this going, well, I paid for somebody and then my account got unsuspended. Yeah, it was chance. I know so many people who have paid somebody for a service. I know people who have paid the same person, and there's like 3 or 4 big companies out there that offer this service as well. I know multiple people who have paid the same company to get them unsuspended on Google Merchant Center, and sometimes they can do it, and sometimes they haven't been able to do it. The times that they were able to do it, it was coincidence. I'm going to tell you that right now. So save your money is the first thing I'm going to say here. That would be my biggest takeaway here. Don't waste your time or money paying people to unsuspend you. I think the whole... That whole thing is just a scam at this point. You know, unless somebody can front up and show actual evidence of 100% success rate, you shouldn't pay for it. And I know why you want to. I get it. I really get it. But just don't. So look, on to the other thing you shouldn't do in this circumstance is just try and delete everything and start again. Right? I've seen people go to the extent of deleting their business and starting a new Shopify account, or trying to delete their Google accounts and start new Google accounts. Like, Google knows who you are. And they have another policy that's not the misrepresentation policy, called the circumventing systems policy, which clearly states, if you take actions to try and get around our suspensions, we're going to sting you even harder. And they will do that. If they catch you out doing that, you're going to find it even harder, both in your Google Ads account, and Google Ads suspensions are even harder than Google Merchant Center suspensions to turn around sometimes. It's going to be even harder for you to get in. They'll flag your payment methods, so you have to go out and get new cards and do all this sort of stuff. They know your payment method addresses. Like, they record this stuff, right? They know your IP addresses, you know, that you operated your last accounts from. So unless you're going to absolutely go scorched earth on everything in your life, like, that's not a solution either. So, I mean, those are the two big things right out of the gate I would say don't do if you're finding yourself in that situation.
What do we do then, John? Because we're suspended. Look, I feel the pain. I'm suspended on the Google AdWords side of things, Google Ads, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of people, you know, are seeing the misrepresentation as a good example in GMC. There's lots of different categories. Believe me, I've been suspended for quite a few of them myself. But what do you do? I can imagine it is quite deflating, especially early, when it's just like, man, I'm really trying to do something cool here. But you know, it feels like somebody doesn't want you to succeed, right? It feels like somebody wants to, you know, hold you down, if you will. I get it. Like, I feel for these people. And do you have any solutions that are worth doing? Is there a checklist you can go through? Is there a process by which you would start trying to figure out how you might be misrepresenting?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, there's some simple things that we can go through, which isn't always the case. But I do see people where it is the case. And I certainly have looked at people's website and said, oh, actually, you should probably do this. Or did you know that you had this on your site? So we can run through those now. The biggest thing I would say, though, like, when I look at the people, particularly with longer term suspensions, who turn that around, I always ask them, what did you do? Like, what did you do? Because we want to learn about, are there actually things that people are doing that are getting it turned around? The number one thing that everybody who's in that situation says is they kept contacting Google and talking to people on the Google Merchant Center team. Like, some people are like, I was in contact with them 20 times, right? And sometimes when I talk to people who have a suspension and it's been a bit longer, I'm like, are you calling Google every day? And they're like, no, I haven't called them for like 4 weeks. I'm like, yeah, all right. Well, how bad do you want it? It goes back to, we just talked about this on our last podcast episode. How bad do you want it? Like, you have to understand that within Google, there are people at different levels. And sometimes you can speak to one person who sounds like they can't help you. You speak to the next person and they're like a font of knowledge. They're super helpful and they can actually take some action. So there are people at different levels. And if you can get in touch with them, and you can, sometimes it's hard to find the phone numbers and things like that. I get that too, but like, you really have to be like a dog with a bone on this stuff. I would just keep calling. I would literally call them every single day, because you're going to get a different person a lot of the time. And if you just get the right person, you'll find somebody. There are some great people that work there. You'll find somebody. And no, I can't give you a phone number for that same person every single time. It doesn't work like that either. You'll find somebody who will work with you and help you at least navigate your way through it a little bit. And that's really, that's the most common thing I hear from people who turn these things around. But look, the thing I'll take people back to is there's two reasons people get the suspension, and it's you want to differentiate them a little bit. You can either get a Google misrepresentation, just the broad misrepresentation thing, which is usually very unspecific. But there's also kind of like a subcategory, which is like website needs improvement. So if you get the website needs improvement one, it's usually the case that there is something on your website that they think needs improvement. And usually they'll give you a list of things that it could be. They're not saying it is those things, but it could be. And so if I saw that one, I would definitely be looking very closely. Now, if you get the general misrepresentation, it could be also the website needed improvement stuff, but it could just be something else, right? But look, first thing to say is with your Google accounts, you have to think of your Google accounts like a complete ecosystem, right? So you've got Google Workspace or Gmail for your emails you might be using. You're going to have Google Analytics. You're going to have Google Merchant Center. You're going to have Google Ads. And you've got a Google account as well with like a central place for your information. What I would suggest you do throughout those, use the same name, use the same business name, use the same contact address, the same address. Anytime you put an address in, fill out as much information about your business in all of those platforms as you can. Put profile images on everything. Like, don't make it look anonymous or anything like that. Make it look like you're running a real business, because you are. But use the same contact details, the same phone number everywhere. Like your business phone number should be, whatever's going to appear on your website, your 800 number, your 1300 number if you're in Australia, like whatever it is. Use the same phone number everywhere and think about your billing address for your Google Ads account, right? So this is something I see like, and you might have to think about this a bit ahead of time, and it might be something that you think about temporarily, is try to use a payment method that's registered to the same address that you're listing as your business address. Right. And so addresses is something I think, while I can't say hand on heart, it definitively is the thing. I do think that Google maybe can identify some virtual address locations and that they don't like that. So I always use my personal address as my business address. And yes, there is no problem with doing that for a dropshipping business. Customers are not going to turn up at your door demanding products, for example, which is everybody's big fear. Like, I don't know what you're worried about. Like, because that's where I register my credit cards to, right? Or my bank accounts sometimes. And so what Google's looking for when it's misrepresentation, one of the things they're looking for is there inconsistencies in this person's story, which might indicate that they're a scammer or they're fraudulent or something like that. And when they start seeing inconsistencies, that's what raises the flags for the AI. So you want to keep everything super consistent and remember that everything's connected. So same phone number, same address, use the same business name. Like, don't put your website name here and then your LLC name somewhere else if it's different. Choose one or the other. I'd say your website name is the best approach, right? Nobody needs to know your LLC name, really. Like, nobody cares. So there's that. If you've had Google accounts in the past, like, it's not that unusual how often sometimes I ask people this and they're like, oh yeah, I had a Google Ads account 3 years ago and it's still open and it's got a different set of contact details for me on it and all that sort of thing. Like, if you've had Google accounts in the past, either make sure they're also up to date or delete them. Like, delete them completely from existence before you do this, right? At least, particularly in Google Ads, if you've got unpaid bills in Google Ads, you're automatically screwed, right? Go pay them. So I'd say that stuff. When it comes to your website, you know, they're pretty nitpicky with this shit now compared to what they used to be. You used to be able to put up a really trashy looking website and it would get through, no problems whatsoever. Not so much the case these days. You need to, like, if there is one broken link on your website, that's enough to get you suspended. Like, just one link. Like, let's say you cut and pasted a description from your supplies page into your website, and in that description there was a link to something on the supplies website, that, and it's not working, that can be enough. They can get your whole site suspended. So you have to go through every bit of text on your website, make sure there are no links that go outside of your website. So in the future, you may have outgoing links. On your product pages, Google does not like links that take people off your website. I'll say that straight up. That's a no-no. You've got to get rid of those. If you need to host like a user manual or a spec sheet or something like that, you need to host it on your Shopify account. You need to download it. upload it into your Shopify account and link to it. And we show you how to do that in our course, of course. You can't link to the supplier's website for anything, nothing in the beginning, not a single thing. If you have like links to other pages on your site, you have to make sure they all work. If you've got any 404 error links, that's going to get you suspended. You have to look for placeholder text. Once again, you might inadvertently copy this from another website. And I do see this. Or you might have inserted a block on your homepage and you've forgotten to update it. And it's still got the lorem ipsum stuff in it. That will get you suspended. If you've got images that are of a very low quality or they're too small, you need to fix that. Take them off. Like if they're a little bit pixelated or they're just really small, like 200 by 200 or something, you need to get rid of those. Fix them, like product images, any images on your site. If you've got placeholder images, I do see this as well. Sometimes people, they build their homepage. They've gone to, they're in a rush to set up their Merchant Center account. They go and set it up and they've left like a little placeholder product image in one of the things on their homepage. You know, like the featured products thing. They've only got four products, but there's space for a fifth and there's a little placeholder. That'll get you suspended. You got to fix that. So, like what else could there be? Hey, if you've been thinking about starting your high ticket dropshipping journey with us here at Dropship Breakthrough, but you've got questions, you're unsure about what's inside the course, you're unsure if it's right for you, or you just love to hear from the experiences of our students, you can jump on a free call right now with a member of our team who is also a Dropship Breakthrough student and successful high ticket dropshipper to talk about all of those things. Just head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call today.
Yeah, I'm over here scrolling our Slack, John, looking for things. Not to cut you off there. You're hitting every single one of these. So if there's anyone to listen to on the subject, it's you. Like you're getting all the emails. You're getting all the complaints. You're the one who's probably deep diving into websites. I know I deep dive into a student's the other day. One thing I found was like they were like, you can find our returns policy here. And there was no link to here. Like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't call that a broken link. That's not a 404, but you're like saying, hey, come find this stuff here, and then not showing anyone anywhere to get to. I do think it's like ticky-tack stuff that 5 years ago didn't matter. And now it really matters. Like, it really matters. And so you kind of have to, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's. And I think a big one that you touched on in the beginning was that Google one. Just congruency from Google Workspace to your website, to your billing, to Google Ads, to Google Analytics, to Google Search Console. Like, there's so many different places that you sign up for your business and write descriptions about you and have billing and have different things. And I do see that a lot. There's an LLC here. There's the name of the business here. There's a DBA, which I think a lot of people think they need to do here. And just like, it's all over the place. And then, you know, a UPS store address here, or a virtual mailbox here. And, you know, our credit cards are actually, you know, the billing address is here. That's not our virtual. Like, there's a lot of incongruencies, I think, in people's setup process that probably leads to this as well.
Yeah, but and we can go further here though. Like, if you've got really shitty product descriptions, like if you've got like a one line product description, you're going to get suspended. Like Google is edging this more and more towards. Well, there's a chance you'll get suspended, I should say, because I do see people who don't get suspended who are doing some of these things wrong. That's why I say it's not like a consistent approach here, but. When you read the website needs improvement policy and the list of things that they can pull out, product descriptions can be one of those things. So I think sometimes where people get into trouble here is they rush. You know, like you get your first cut for your suppliers on board and you're like, oh shit, yeah, now I can go and launch my business and I'm just going to whack everything on in a really quick way. And then while I'm doing that, I'm also trying to open my merchant center and I'm going to rush through that to try and get to the point where I can run ads because I want to start making some sales. I want to start making money. And I get it. You do. You really want to, particularly at the start, you have this really warped sense of time. You're like, everything's got to happen tomorrow. You need to take your time. If you rush this process, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to miss things. You're going to fuck it up, right? Don't open your Google Merchant Center account or your Google Ads account until your site's set up. Like, I see people do this as well. Like, they jump ahead and they're like, I'm still building my website, but I've gone and opened my Google Merchant Center account and I've set up my Google Ads account and I accidentally set up a campaign in there, but I forgot to pause it and I didn't put my payment details in and your accounts get suspended. Like, go through the steps. Build your site, load your products, do a good job of that. Go back and review your site. Make sure you've done all of these things that I'm talking about, then go and open your Google Merchant Center account, because as soon as you open your Google Merchant Center account and hook up a feed, Google starts crawling your website, right? Like the Google shopping stuff side of Google starts crawling your website. And if there's even one little error or there's an inconsistency in a price on a product between your feed and your website, because you're still setting up your products and you're still uploading prices, like even if it's a temporary discrepancy, they'll sting you for that, right? You know, if you've got a difference between your tax settings in your Google Merchant Center and your Shopify site, like you set up a tax setting for a state if you're in the US in your Merchant Center, but you forgot to do it in Shopify, that's going to come up at checkout. They'll crawl your checkout. They're going to find that. They're going to suspend you. Shipping rates. If you've got inconsistencies in your shipping rates between Google Merchant Center and your website, that's going to get you suspended. You know, they're bots, add to cart. They go to checkout. They see if all of the numbers line up. And if they don't, they suspend you. So I think for a lot of people, attention to detail, and you need a lot more attention to detail than you used to, 100%. It does catch people out. And so you just have to go, before you go through that process of opening your Merchant Center accounts and submitting a feed and doing all that sort of stuff, you just need to go through your site with a fine-tooth comb and just think about, like, is everything lining up? Is everything congruent? Do I have anything that I'm missing? Do I have anything that looks really low quality? Sometimes, like, I see people who get a bit color mad and they'll have like a section of background, like let's say in your header, where you have a section of background and then the main menu is like a color that doesn't contrast with the background. So it kind of sits into it a bit and it's hard to see the links and things like this. That will be a website needs improvement thing, right? The use of color on your website. That's why I say, like, don't make your site like some crazy rainbow that a five-year-old would draw with some crayons. Just go for two colors. Keep it simple. And make sure all of your colors contrast. If you have links, make sure they're human readable. Like the colors are human readable. You know, because that can be a thing as well. That can lead to what Google would call like a low quality experience. And they're looking for that. They've brought quality into it. Right? This is where it gets tricky sometimes, because quality is subjective. In like something I might say is high quality, somebody else might say is low quality, and vice versa. Who knows what the AI thinks is quality? That probably changes once a week as well, at least, right? The AI tools, their AI is constantly evolving as well. And so who knows? So you really have to think about it from that perspective too. Like, it's not just do the ones and zeros line up. It's also like, if I looked at this, is there anything that I would look at and go, holy crap, that's terrible, or that's not usable? Or if I looked at that, I wouldn't know what it was talking about. Like, if you've got a one sentence product description because you're trying to rush and get to the point of launching and you're like, oh, I'm going to go back and put a proper product description in there later, that could undo you, right? Got to take the time. You know, spending a couple of weeks at the start to get everything right is better than being suspended for 5 months. You know what I mean?
How much do you think copy and pasting from the supplier is a big deal, John? Like, their AI 100% can say, we have this indexed probably by a few different people because there's a ton of lazy people out there. I don't know if that's a suspension worthy, but I assume they're looking at that saying, look, we don't need another person with saying the exact same thing in our index.
Yeah, it might be the case. I can't hand on heart say it is, but at the same time, I could show you tomorrow, like, plenty of examples right now of people who are getting their stuff approved with no suspensions that are doing that. Like, that's what we've always done, like, for most people. And no, I don't see enough evidence that that's the case. Possibly where it's a low quality product description, like I say, like, it doesn't really say anything about the product. And it's not clear what the product is or what it does or anything like that. I think I kind of get the sense from the language that Google uses in their policies that that could be the case. And so if you've just cut and pasted that, then yeah, that could be the case. But I don't think it's simply existing in Google's index already is a reason, no. Because you can go out and find in any niche, multiple sites that are running ads right now that are have the same product descriptions. So if it is the case, it's clearly not something that's applied in a blanket sense, no.
Can we
hand on heart say any one thing is or isn't the reason? No, because Google doesn't publish any of this stuff, right? There's no sheet of this is every little thing that our AI is looking at. And when you talk to people at Google, a lot of them say, we don't know what the fuck it's looking at, right? Even their own employees, people on the Google Merchant Center team at some level, there are people there who don't know what it's doing. So the chance that any of us outside of Google are going to have like the list, the definitive list of all the reasons, things you need to do. Yeah, I wish we did. But obviously Google is never going to do that because the point of this is to catch people out. This is their like policing mechanism to make sure that there are not scammy websites selling products on Google Shopping on their comparison shopping engine, taking advantage of customers. That's why this stuff exists. And yes, it's probably got a little bit out of hand in some ways, but they are never going to say, this is how you can make sure you don't get suspended, because then what is every scammer going to do? Do the things that make sure they're never going to get suspended, right? Which would defeat the purpose of having it in the first place. And then, you know, Google Shopping would just be like eBay, like a wash with fucking trash and shitty listings. And Google doesn't want that.
Well, there's no one like John to bring rational like takes to an emotional situation. Anyone who's going through this is probably very emotional. And I think you did a good job of breaking this down too, right? Step by, let's go look here first. Let's look here next. Let's look here. And it's a 1+1=2 situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just go back through it.
And definitely respect the review process. Like, I mean, like, don't automatically hit the review thing. Don't put your hands up, like, when you see that you've been suspended and go, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Fuck you. And then hit manual review straight away. Once again, that's going to be a bit of a flag for them. Like, if you sort a review within 10 minutes of being suspended, they're going to say, yeah, you really looked at your stuff, didn't you, in that time frame? And then if you do go through the review process and it's not successful the first time, don't do a review straight away and just go, well, I can't work it out, so I'm just going to try again. Get on the phone, talk to people at Google, keep talking to them until you get some answers. And then once you've got that, go for another review. But I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk about like, what else should you do when you're in this circumstance? Because this is one of the bigger problems that I see with people is, I talk to people who are like, oh, I've been suspended for months and months. It's really frustrating. I can't work out what to do. What should I do? And I talk to them a little bit about that. And I'll say to them, what else have you been doing? And they're like, well, nothing. I need to run Google Ads. I can't do anything else until I've run Google Ads. My business is over if I can't run Google Ads. And I want to be quite clear. That's simply not the case. If you're suspended and you've been suspended for some time and you're doing nothing else to grow your business, then that's your own fault, right? I mean, Google Ads is great in the beginning. Google Ads are not required to build a high-ticket dropshipping business. Like people, and I get why people think this, because every guru out there doesn't teach anything other than Google Ads because they don't know how to do anything other than Google Ads because they're just basic. Like Google Ads is a traffic generation source for a high ticket dropshipping business. And we use it first because you can switch it on and off. And so it's useful in that sense. And it's useful to make some sales and it's useful to learn about your business. But it's not the be all and end all of high ticket dropshipping. If you get suspended, keep calling suppliers, put more products on your website, start doing SEO. Find some good keywords you can rank for and start ranking some pages. Yeah, it's going to take a bit longer than running ads would take, but just get to work. Like pull your finger out and work hard at that. You're not spending 3 hours a day trying to get yourself unsuspended on Google. Like either you're doing something or you're not. If you're sitting there waiting, don't tell yourself you're doing something. You're not. So get to work. Like spend 3 hours a day doing SEO on your site. Put on more suppliers, like load your site up, make your site awesome so that when you do get unsuspended, work on your offer, research competition. When you do get unsuspended, and you will, you're just going to hit the ground running. Mm. Right? And you're going to use those Google ads to just pour on some more fire, right? But whatever you do, please don't get suspended and then just go throw your hands up and go, well, fuck it. This high ticket drop shipping thing isn't going to work because I can't run Google ads. It's just go and run ads on Bing, like, for a little bit. Yeah, it's not the same, but it's something. You can still make some sales there, right? Like, there's so much you can still do. If you're committed to building this business, you don't need Google ads.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.